Welcome back to the Better Every Day podcast, where we are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful wife, Grace Garcia. And today we are on episode 12, which means that we've been going 12 weeks strong on this. We appreciate everybody taking the time for viewing the episodes, for liking it, for commenting, for sharing it. We are really humbled by you guys taking the time to do that. And we are just happy to be able to be speaking and having conversations about things that could be a blessing to you guys. Mm-hmm. So today's episode actually is about maybe two things that have been on my mind. They kind of go together, but the main one, I guess, it has to do with relationships / marriage. I really don't want to become a marriage podcast. Let me just put that out there. But there are a lot of topics in regards to marriage, and we have been married for going on 8 years. And there's a lot of things that we've gone through, and we've also been in community with other couples where we've heard similar stories as ours. And speaking of which, not so long ago, I was having a conversation with a friend. I'm not going to say who this friend is because, you know, just in case the wife is listening. But he is a man. He is a husband. And one of these days he was, we were messaging, and I'm like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm not doing so good." And usually he's like, "Oh, I'm doing great." You know? And I'm like, "Oh, wow. Like, what's going on?" He's like, "Well, I was having a conversation with my wife last night, and I was on the verge of tears." And for him to say that, I was like, "What the heck, dude? What's going on?" I joked a little bit about, you know, messed with him a little bit because we usually mess with each other. But so I was just like, "Oh man, what's going on, dude? Like, is it your time of the month or whatever? You know, like, just like, you know, little jokes." Right? I hope nobody gets offended by that. That's why I was a little nervous about saying it. But and he's like, "No, like, I've been feeling alone. I've been at my house feeling alone. I feel like I'm doing all these things. I'm working. I'm trying to figure things out. But life keeps kind of throwing curveballs at me. And not only that, but I feel like at home, I don't really have support." And he's like, "I feel like as a man, we're kind of responsible for bearing most of the weight. We're kind of responsible for figuring things out. We're kind of responsible for just always seeming like we have it all together, right? It's not common for men to come out and just be like, 'Hey, like, I'm having a rough one,' or 'Hey, like, I need help,' or 'Hey, like, I'm hurt,' or 'Hey, like, this is too much. I'm overwhelmed.' Because as a man, you feel weak saying those things, and no man likes to feel weak. And not only that, but no man likes to declare that they're weak to their wife, to the one that they feel she's depending on him to be the rock of the family, right? And so he was like, "I'm having a rough time." And he was saying, "I was asking my wife for a favor." And she was like, "No, you do me a favor first." And he's like, "I usually never ask for any favors. I usually don't ask for anything. But I was asking her for this favor because I really needed it." And she was like, "No, you do mine first and maybe I'll, you know, worry about yours." And he's like, "That really hurt me." And she was just basically like, "You don't even know what hurt is. Like, you guys just always pretend or whatever. You guys are fine. Like, you need to worry about me." And he's like, "Even when I'm vulnerable, even when I'm open with my wife, I feel like I don't get the reception that I'm looking for. It's one thing that it's hard for a man to open up. It's one thing for a man to say he needs something. And it sucks when a man takes that leap. I wouldn't say of faith, but a leap of, I guess there's some fear involved in that leap of like, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to be vulnerable, right? And for the man to be having those feelings and then receiving that, I guess, kind of rejection back really, really sucks. But, I mean, it's all about perspective, right? So the wife is probably thinking about all the things that she's gone through during the day and that she really needs what she was asking for. and he's thinking about everything he's gone through the day. And not only that, but the things that have been kind of weighing on him day in and day out. And so he needs, you know, support. He needs love. And so as he was saying this, it reminded me of a time when me and you were kind of going through that. And kind of like putting it both together, I feel like the dynamic, and I mean, maybe you can weigh in, but I feel like the dynamic between a man and a woman has changed a good amount in the last couple of years. And you, Grace, kind of always talk about this pendulum swinging, and usually the pendulum's swinging to the left and then all of a sudden it swings to the right. And what I mean by that is, like, for example, in relationships, let's say the pendulum to the right is there's machismo in the relationship. So that means that the man makes all the calls. He is basically like a military sergeant at home. Like, whatever he says goes. There's no question in it. It is what it is. He has the last word. Sometimes there's not even any discussions or anything. He just decides what's going on, right? And the other side of that pendulum is now the man is told to shut the heck up because the women, quote unquote, have been oppressed for so long that it's now time for the women to rise up and for them to be leaders and for them to have a voice. And it kind of all happened, I think, during the whole, like, what was that movement? Like the Me Too, where all the women were coming out, and like it was empowering. Like I was seeing like all these women come out like, yeah. Like I've been through this too. And then another woman, yeah, I've been through this. And women started to find their voice, and it was getting to like drastic measures because there was also like, movements where it was to an extreme of like, oh, like, I don't know if I'm able to say it, but if not, we can just bleep it out after. But like, oh, free the nipples, like just, you know, be who you are called to be, like whatever, like just be super liberal and, you know, nobody gets to body shame you or nobody gets to tell you like how you should live your life. Like women need to be empowered and just feel secure in our bodies and who we are, whatever, right? And in the last couple of years, like it's been all about that. And it's kind of carried over into marriages to the point where from a man's perspective, I feel like a lot of the men are kind of like their voices are being shut down. And I felt like that in our marriage. And I heard this friend of mine saying his story and I was like, okay, like I've been through that too. And I see it in other marriages as well. And so with me and you, I remember when we were going through our counseling was when we were going through that process. And the way that it looked like for me and you, I remember was I was kind of like fed up because I did feel like I kept being told like, don't worry about you, don't worry about you. I mean, we went to counseling and a lot of it had to do with like everything that you were going through. And it was completely valid and I took it. And I was like, okay, I know I need to be better as a husband. But at the same time, I was like, okay, so at what point do I get to share, you know, my feelings, you know? And it started to be a battle within me in regards to like, I'm hearing about Grace's feelings, but who's listening to me about my feelings? And there'd be times where I'd bring it up to you. And similar to this other wife, you'd kind of be just like, you're not hurt, like, whatever, like, I've never seen you hurt, or you always joke around too much, so I know, like, you're not hurt, that you're fine, like, you always act fine, and I think at that point, I had already decided, like, no, I'm gonna start being more vulnerable with you, like, that hurt, and you would kind of, like, brush it off, and I'm not sure if it was just because of history in regards to, like, oh, he jokes about this all the time, like, whatever, or if it was, I don't want to deal with this, I don't know how to deal with this, I'm not sure, and that's maybe something that you can answer today in this episode. But so I felt fed up and the way that I told my friend actually is I felt like not to call you a bully, but I felt like I was almost standing up to a bully in regards to like, hey, no, my feelings matter. And you'd kind of be like, no, like you're just joking, whatever. Like it's not a big deal. And I'd be like, no. If you expect me to do something, let's say, if you expect me to worry about your feelings, to do something about your feelings, to help validate you, to hear you out, to try to find a solution, then I expect the same thing from you. It's a two-way street. And I felt like I kept having to, quote unquote, stand up for myself in that regard. And I remember a lot of it used to be in the car. Like, I'd be like, no, like, and we'd kind of get into, I wouldn't say fights, but like standoffs, really. Because I remember I would like stand my ground and you didn't like it and you'd be quiet. But little by little, I feel like you started being open about it and be like, okay, like he's being real, I need to actually listen. You could maybe weigh in on that right now. But how was that part for you, or what are your thought processes in what I just said?
For a long time, I do think how you said that pendulum has swung. And so now, or maybe even just the misconception of getting married of like, oh, for my happiness, for what I think this fairy tale is, or what I envision in my head. And so if you go in it with that mindset, then yeah, it's going to be a wake up call when it's like, oh, my husband wants me to do this and I'm uncomfortable. I can't speak for all women because I'm not all women, but for me, I feel like it was a place of, for so long, and we talked about this in the last episode of like parenting, for so long I was putting myself last, like your comfort before me, mm-hmm. your peace of mind before me, with like the whole marriage thing. And I was sacrificing myself so much that I felt like I deserved it. And I think it was like just selfish of, you're feeling hurt, so you were looking after yourself. I was feeling hurt, so I was looking after myself. And so mm-hmm. we took this posture of just shield up. I'm protecting myself, leave me alone. That it's very hard once it's time to like take the shield off and enclose on each other, like make sure like we are a unit, yeah. and we're facing the world. It's so hard to do that, because I think for a long time I was like, I didn't trust like who's going to take care of me, but who's, and so it's just like me versus you. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of women feel that way. Like, unfortunately, men aren't really taught how to be a father, or like how to make that switch. I don't know if that's what it is. But a lot of things we talked about it last time, lay on the woman's forefront. Like, if we don't bring it up, it doesn't get done in the family or in the house. Like, we have so much of just a mental burden, and then physical, especially if we're with the kids and then work or whatever it is, that I think it comes from a place of like, well, I'm taking care of myself, and it's selfish. And it's not how marriage should be, but I think it's self-preservation mode.
And we talked a little bit about communication in the last episode, and I'd like to continue moving forward with that right now, because do you feel like, from that stance that you're saying, like the woman is taking care of herself because she feels like she hasn't been taken care of in a while. Mm-hmm. The man, same thing. Do you feel like there's a lot of things that both man and woman decide not to communicate about, not to put on the table, in fear of that vulnerability? Because the way that I always picture vulnerability is, vulnerability, I'm taking my heart metaphorically out of my chest and like putting it on the table. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why the heart is in your chest cavity. Like, it's well protected. And for you to take it out of there, something so vulnerable, something that is basically, that's giving you life, and you present it to another person, that's a risk. Mm-hmm. And that's vulnerability, right? And do you feel like a lot of people feel the same way, and that's why I'd rather not communicate what I want to communicate, because I'm scared that you're going to reject me. I'm scared that you're going to make it all about you. I'm scared that, I don't know, you're going to turn it on me. What do you think?
Like, in the beginning, why didn't just ask for help, or is that what you're asking?
I guess you could say that. But what I'm saying is, like, when you get to a point where a woman has decided, okay, I'm going to take care of myself, right? And then a man finally gets to a point where he's fed up. And it's usually like that breaking point of, I feel like I'm have so much on my plate. I have so much on my shoulders. I feel alone in my own house. I feel like I'm not close to my wife. I feel like she doesn't have my back. And then I feel the responsibility of having kids and being able to be there for them. And what you always say, like, I'm pouring out of a empty cup. Like, I don't know what to do. And so finally, when a man gets to that breaking point, they start thinking, like, is it a good idea that I just bring this up? Like, I've never really asked for help. Like, should I just ask for help? But then they go, well, if I ask for help and I get rejected, then that's going to suck. And that's the whole, like, putting your feelings out there. But the same way, like, and like, we went to counseling and we had a third person mediating, right? So that helped a lot. I feel like we both got a chance to put our hearts on the table and feel like it's safe. I'm not going to get destroyed. I'm not going to get killed. I'm not going to have the other person grab my heart and toss it in dirt or whatever, or spit on it. Mm. Like, it's going to be okay, right? But some people have chosen not to go that route of counseling. And so my question is, do you feel like there's a lack of communication? There's a lack of vulnerability between a husband and a wife. And that's why both may feel alone in the house.
Yeah. And it comes, at least for me and my perspective, a lack of trust of, once I do bring it up, and maybe you don't say the wrong things in the moment, maybe you completely accept it. The follow through of, not only did I expose myself, you saw how much it meant to me, and then you just, how did they say, drop the ball or forget about it, mm-hmm. or like, we're careless about it. That also sucks. So sometimes it's like, I'd rather just take care of me, because it's easier. I'm not going to let myself down, versus you left your heart there on the table and then that other person like forgets about it. Not in an ill way. Mm-hmm. It's like, why even bother? I think it comes to a moment of like despair of, all right, I'm done bringing it up over and over.
Okay. So I want to get to a point where I want you to give somebody advice, somebody who may be listening to this and being like, oh, like, I feel like I'm at that place where I'm in a marriage, but I feel like I'm not we're not a team with my husband, or I'm not a team with my wife. Like, I'm feeling lost. I'm feeling alone. Right. But before that, I want you to answer, when we were going through our process, right? Let's say before we even went to counseling, how were you feeling in regards to like marriage? How were you feeling in regards to our communication? Did you feel like we were on the same page? Did you feel like we were, both on the same team, that we had each other's backs? Like, how were you feeling before we went to counseling the first time?
Before we went to counseling, I definitely felt like I was on my own team, like doing everything that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then you were doing everything that you wanted. And there was no communication of, hey, can you come over here and help me with this? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're just two separate teams with two different goals. And we were each going at our goals, but they were completely different.
Yeah. And so when we started counseling, what would you say that shifted in our communication, or in that feeling of we're becoming one again?
Well, just through the conversations, I realized we have the same goal. Like, we both wanted to be heard. Like, a lot of the things we were saying sounds different. Like, we were speaking different sentences, different lingo, but diving deeper, doing the exercises that she told us to, of speaker listener, making sure we're clarifying and understanding each other, we came down to the bottom of it. We both wanted to be seen. Like, we both were just screaming for each other to, like, look at me, like, I'm enough. Or yeah, it was that point. And so once we realized our goal is the exact same, but we're running separate, two different like directions, going further apart, mm-hmm. when we could unite our goal, because it is a common goal, and run together, that was the biggest game changer, I think, just realizing, wow, like, you're saying it completely different and we're different people, but ultimately we want the same thing.
The thing that I picture with us is, there is a picture, I'll put it up on the screen, but it's a picture of two people that are sitting on the floor, but they're sitting back to back, and it's like a shell of them. And inside this shell, there's two little kids, both like trying to grab the other person. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, for me, it's the way I interpret that picture is like pride kills. Mm. Like an adult, you know, it's the, our, let's say our inner child is like, no, I really want to be happy with you. I want to work things out with you. But the adult's like, I don't know how to do it because we have so much beef between us. There's so much anger and bitterness between us. Like, I don't know how to get there. And my pride won't let me get there. Mm-hmm. And pride for sure is a humongous killer, like the biggest killer of relationships.
Yeah.
And it almost got us. It's not until we both decided, no, we need to do something about it. And we're open to getting help. And that's when we went to counseling. And the counseling really, how did you feel in counseling? Like, just off the hop, because I've always talked about like, hey, when I decided I went to counseling, like I was open-minded, open-hearted, like whatever it is that I was going to hear, I was ready for it. But how did you feel when I first said, hey, let's go to counseling? And, you know, like the first couple of sessions, like, how did you feel?
I always liked the idea of counseling before. I mentioned it in prior episodes. Before we did couples counseling, I did like individual counseling. Mm-hmm. And the therapist was like, yeah, maybe you need to go to counseling with your husband next. And so I immediately was kind of like relieved, like, oh, he finally, because I think I was kept bugging you about it. He finally like decided to go to counseling. And so I was relieved. Once we were in counseling, I do remember, I have like fish brain, so sometimes it's hard to really remember. Mm-hmm. But I remember something along the lines of the therapist always saying like, okay, Grace, how do you feel? Like, Grace, talk about that more. Mm-hmm. And she could tell how, I was afraid that I was making it all about me. Because I did have so many complaints against you.
Yeah.
And I think you labeled me as, like, a crybaby. You labeled me as, like, an attention seeker. You labeled me as, like, selfish. Mm-hmm. And so I was, like, afraid of that coming out. But the therapist kind of caught on to that. Like, wait, why are you afraid of sharing? Like, this is, you know, a safe space.
Yeah.
And I would always immediately cry. And I'm like, oh, he thinks I'm like making it all about myself again. So those thoughts definitely like got to me of, am I making it all about myself? But I liked that she like would kind of, she saw that and was like taking me out of my shell. Mm-hmm. And then I'd ask you after like, how did you think it went? And you seemed fine. I think cause you felt like she had your back and you were also having to say, mm-hmm. I definitely was a little bit like timid in that area, like, oh, I'm being selfish, or so it was hard getting used to.
Okay. And then here's another question. So we've talked about the beginning stages of our marriage. And at the beginning, you were very passive. We've talked about when you were pregnant, you would become not passive and we would, you know, lock horns. But then after pregnancy, you would go back to being passive. You were a little bit less passive with each stage of our life that we'd go, right? Mm-hmm. Until to the point, I feel like you got to a point of like what I was prefacing at the beginning, like the woman empowerment. Did you ever feel that? Did you ever feel like, nah, like I'm done with this quote unquote oppression. I'm done with this dude making me feel like not good, bad about myself, kicking me while I'm down, putting all these negative labels on me. I'm done with this. It's time for me to stand up, have my own voice, and, you know, just be a strong, independent woman.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was, how you said it, I was tired of not being, like, chosen. I was tired of not being loved how I thought I deserved it. Like, just all of the things that I wanted and not getting, I was like, okay, then I don't need you. Like, you're clearly not like helping me or filling a void, mm-hmm. I guess you can say, or doing your job. And so it's like, what's the point? And I think a lot of people get to that point when they get divorced. A lot of the times I hear women, I could be just because that's who I am, like listening to women. So I don't know if men, what usually they say, but every time usually women get a chance and they ask like, oh, why'd you get divorced and stuff? It's like, I'm choosing myself. Like, I'm choosing happiness. Like, I can't love someone if I don't love myself. And it's like this journey they're going to really seek self-happiness or something like that. And so I think in a lot of marriages, it's, okay, you didn't care about me. So deuces, like, I'm going to go care about myself now and put myself first.
Okay, now that you said that, now I have another question for you that just came up right now. So are you saying that it is wrong for a woman to stand up for herself to the point of, I'm going to get a divorce because you are no longer making me happy. You are no longer serving me. You are no longer, we're no longer a team, and I don't see a solution in the future.
I think a woman, it's not okay for a woman to feel like that. I think something's broken.
Okay.
I'm going to say that because no woman should feel not loved, not valued, not known her worth. Mm-hmm. I do not think that's okay. Mm-hmm. To get divorced because of it, I don't think that's okay. Yeah, God never intended us to get a divorce. On the other hand, like to find in our sufferings, like being able to rejoice or being able to take the posture of Jesus, even though he was shamed and belittled, like choosing to love, like that takes a special kind of person. Now, I'm not saying to take on abuse, any kind of abuse, but even that's verbal abuse. Mm-hmm. But yeah, easier said than done.
And that's also kind of contradictory. Contradictory? Yeah, I said that the first time around. Mm-hmm. Because you first started, yes, a woman feels like they're fed up, and so they're standing up for themselves, mm-hmm. right? And it's not okay for a woman to feel like that. There's a little hint of women empowerment there. And you need to... hold on. You need to stand up for yourself. But listen. And that's not a bad thing, though. Mm-hmm. Women empowerment is not a bad thing. I will say that flat out, right? Okay. So you thought I was saying it in a negative connotation, but I wasn't. But then at the same time, you were like, oh, but you need to be like Jesus. You need to be okay with suffering. And those two are not the same. Because I feel like in part, because a woman's standing up for herself, there's nothing wrong with that. But I do believe there is a hint of wrong when it's very prideful in regards to, I'm done trying. I'm giving up. There's no hope for this dude. There's no hope for this relationship. I don't care if we have kids. Like I'm through. Mm-hmm. I'm standing up for myself, my happiness. And we've talked about selfishness before in this podcast. And I'd say there's a little hint of selfishness there. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, well, it's hard to tell somebody in that situation that maybe has been going through that for years. And finally has gone to the point, I'm standing up for myself. It's hard to tell that person, you need to keep trying.
Oh, 100%.
It's hard. Because in part, it is good that they're standing up for themselves. But when it comes to the point, like you said in one of the last episodes, like let's say from the perspective of a woman, you have the ability to build a house or burn it to the ground. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the moment when your decisions become selfish in regards to like, I don't care what happens to these kids. Like obviously as a mother you do, but in regards to like, I'm going to put these kids through a divorce. And you could be prideful and not take responsibility and be like, it's not my fault, it's his fault. So if anything wrong happens to these kids or they're, you know, they have to go through therapy because of this, it's his fault, not mine. No responsibility here. I'm standing up for myself and my happiness. And some might say, I'd rather my kids see me happy than miserable in a relationship. What's your opinion?
Yeah, no, I definitely, there's certain cases where I'd say like, I think the only time the Bible says it's okay to get a divorce is adultery. Mm-hmm. So if that guy is already being one with someone else, like you guys no longer are one, like walk away, right? Mm-hmm. And then I believe, and I've heard like other pastors take on it, again, easier said than done because I'm not in that situation. But I've heard other pastors say you can be separated. A man and a woman, like you don't have to live together. Like, let's say the woman is Christian and she's trying and he doesn't see her worth. And so maybe belittles her or just makes the home such a toxic place for her, or maybe they do have kids and it's a toxic place for her and her kids, mm-hmm. that get separated. Like, that's fine. Like, you guys live separate lives, pray for him, like, wish him well. But, like, to then move on, like, you're still tied to him, like, in the eyes of God. And so there's really no ground for marriage. Again, that's why it's so important to pick your man, because this is, it's a covenant for ever until death do us part.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, that's your consequence. Like, that's kind of what you signed up for. Mm. But again, live separate, like believing, trusting in God. And that's standing up for yourself, knowing your worth. But then you're not seeking happiness through a guy, because a guy can never really provide that. You are giving it to the hands of God, whether he reconciles that marriage, that's awesome. But if not, you're not in the toxicity, living it day by day, where your kids could be getting affected by it. Because, I mean, you grew up in a household where would you think, oh yeah, my mom should have left my dad a while ago, and we probably would have gotten a better outlook on what a man should be like, and not have so many bad habits to break down. Mm. Have you thought about that?
Have. During it, I did think about it a little bit, but a lot of my thoughts were based out of anger in regards to, like, yeah, just leave him. Like, there's nothing good happening here. Mm-hmm. But that's just completely, like, I'm done with this situation, you know? And again, we go back to, yeah, that was the easiest thing to do. Unfortunately, the story of my mother, my father didn't, you know, have a happy ending. They ended up separating and divorcing. But I think my mom can walk away with her head held high in regards to, like,
she did everything she could.
I did everything I could. Mm-hmm. She suffered. Like, there's nobody that could say that she did not suffer, you know, like, and you know, I'm happy for where she is right now. She seems very happy. She seems at peace. Although she is, you know, carrying some baggage in regards to it, which is normal. But that she's more at peace, she's more at peace, which is mm-hmm. which is awesome. But it's a very hard situation in regards to, like, somebody who's going through something like that. With my mom, it was, you know, verbal and like physical abuse, you know. But some people, it's just like me and you. You've kind of had a different perspective, a more extreme perspective. And I feel like there was times where you were catching glimpses of it in regards to, like, yo, we're doomed. Like, mm-hmm. there's no helping us. Like, it's just a matter of, like, perspective shift or, like, a focus shift. Like, it's easy to be in any situation. We could fight one time and you'd be like, it's done. Like, there's no hope, you know, and it's really a matter of, do we really want to make it work? And that's what I tell everybody. Like, as long as there's two people willing to make things work, it can work 100%. But that's where I'm going to the point of, like, the whole women empowerment. Like, I'm standing up for myself. I have my own yeah. voice. But there's, like, this, like, pride buildup in them. It's like, I'm not taking nothing anymore. And it's pride coupled with bitterness as well. Like, I'm done going through everything that I've gone through with you. I'm done not feeling valued. I'm done not being heard. I'm done being told that I'm all these negative things. I'm done with all this. That's pride. Mm-hmm. There's bitterness. There's hurt. There's pain. And there's no more feeling of wanting to be vulnerable anymore. Like, doors are being shut in that person's heart.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I feel like some empowerment, quote unquote empowerment, can be negative, I think, because it comes with that whole pride thing. Like, again, I'm all for with the women empowerment. Have a voice. Make sure that, you know, you are being heard. Make sure that you're being loved from a healthy place in regards to, let's say, me and you. for you to be able to feel, hey, I'm secure enough that I can be vulnerable with my husband. And if he doesn't respond right, or if he responds negatively, I'm confident that I could tell him what's up. As in, like, no, that's not the right way to do it. Like, for example, you tell me, babe, I've had a really hard day. And this is you, you know, sharing your heart with me. I've had a really rough day. I just need support. I need love. And I go, like, I got my own problems. Like, bye. Like, you can, I feel like a healthy empowerment of a woman is like, hold up, homeboy. Like, I just told you what I was feeling and you just disregarded me. Like, if you really want to be in a relationship, let's be in a relationship and hear me out. There's nothing wrong with that from my perspective. And I feel like that's an empowered woman, a healthy empowered woman. Like, I can stand up for myself, but it's not prideful. It's not bitterness. It's just a confident woman.
But it takes, if a woman has done that and a man still doesn't react well, then I feel like they just kind of keep one-upping each other, you know? Because in that scenario, like, I can tell you that because of how you are now.
Mm-hmm.
But in another scenario, that would just, like, burst into a whole blown ugly argument. And so it takes a lot to just say, like, oh, you know, just stand up for yourself in this way.
And this is what I'm getting at. Again, going back to what I was prefacing at the beginning. You said that when we went through counseling, what you heard was, we both want to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And how many relationships, marriages right now are going through problems or going through, like, I don't know how to figure this out. And if you really think about it, it's that you both just want to be heard. You both just want to be heard. In the scenario where I was telling you the story about my friend that was telling me about, like, I just told her this and I wanted this favor. I wanted her to do something for me. And she said that she wanted a favor. What was the scenario? They both wanted to be heard. The dude just wanted, I've had a long day. I'm feeling so alone. I feel no support. I feel like life is weighing me down. Like, please, you're my wife, the love of my life. I just need a little bit of breath of fresh air, or, like, I need just to be held, or, you know, like, caressed or whatever. I need something from you, right? All he's being like, I'm giving you my heart. My heart is hurting right now. Please just help me. He wants to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife, again, turns around and says, well, I need this. I've had a long day with the kids. I've had this and I've had that. I have a headache, whatever it is. Again, what is she saying? I just need you to hear me too. And I think to have a healthy relationship, both need to be okay with A, voicing what they feel, and also taking the time to hear their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's part of being one in a marriage. And that's where I feel like we finally got to. And that's where I feel like during the process, I was telling you, like, I felt like I was standing up for myself. I'd be like, no, if I need to hear you and I need to validate you and I need to help you, then you need to do the same thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until you finally started agreeing with that, that we started coming together. And I don't know how you felt, but I felt like, wow, like, I can finally trust her. I can feel like we're one, we're on the same team. Because, like you said before, it was like we were married, but we were on two different teams. And sometimes we would attack each other. We had similar goals, but we were going two different ways. Like, it was just a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not until we started working on those things where I'm like, wow, we're becoming one. Like, we're doing this together.
Yeah.
And it, for me, I'll always go back to that one hike. Like, that for me was like the metaphor of our marriage, like, coming together. Like, we're doing hard things together. We're not fighting against each other anymore. We're fighting together against, you know, whatever goals that we're going up against. So my next question is, when I was, quote unquote, standing up for myself, how did you feel, or how did you process that transition?
I thought it was annoying. Like, I just remember.
What do you mean you thought it was annoying? Like,
because I felt you were making it about yourself. Like, I would tell you something and then you'd tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be back to that fear of like, it's going to be about him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to do what he wants. And then I'm going to be again, not seen. Or I'm going to have to sacrifice it once again. I'm going to have to. So I was like annoyed. I think what changed it for me, I don't know, maybe you see it as like you standing up for yourself. I just remember being annoyed. Like, I don't remember like being like, oh, I'm proud of him. Like, for me, it was like just saying I have no choice but to surrender. And if I'm going to try and I don't want a divorce, like I have to completely be selfless and kind of do what God says in the Bible, like loving to the point where it hurts, loving to the point of maybe being walked all over, and praying that like, God, you're a good father, you care about me. And so he's going to come around and my needs are going to be met and my wants are going to be met, like more than I could imagine. And so for me, it was like completely like surrendering it to God and saying, okay, I'm going to do this. Like, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. Doesn't feel good, but God, you love me. And I know David, you loved me. Like, I at least held on to that hope. And so if he's, and I think that gave me peace too, that, okay, he is going through this journey of like at least trying in his way. And he's been open-minded with the therapy and he's doing this. And so even though it might not sound like the way I want to hear it, or it might not be the plan I want to go down, because I was hurt and I was scared, I had no other choice. Like, we're going to try.
So you said that you were annoyed because I was making things about me. Do you feel like before we went to counseling, I always made things about me?
No, I don't think you openly would voice like, oh, I want this, I want that. Mm-hmm. But I felt ignored. So it goes back to, we were two different people. We weren't talking to each other. So I'm over here feeling the burden of life. I'm over here feeling like alone, abandoned. But then you're feeling the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so we're both feeling the same thing. And so like me hearing you, I'm like, okay, he's valid. But then what about all of this? Like, this hasn't been taken care of. Mm-hmm. So if I start tending to your needs though, and history, like what if history repeats itself because you haven't been attending to mine? So I knew you were valid, and I knew that's why I would be like, okay, like I had to listen to you. But it was that fear of like, if I care after you, is this going to be reciprocated? Like, mm-hmm. am I going to feel it back? But then because we argued that in the beginning, like back and forth. Okay, but what about me? No, but what about me? No, you're making it about yourself. No, you're making it about yourself. You're a hypocrite. No, you're a hypocrite. Like, it would be, and it'd be valid because we were both feeling the same thing and we both needed the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so to take the leap of both of our walls and like both of us extending, not knowing if the other one is going to extend, that's scary. I think that's what scared me.
Yeah. And I think when we were going through the counseling, I feel like I told you there was a transition happening in my heart, I guess. And how I used to tell you, like, I don't need words of affirmation. I used to always tell you, like, I don't need that. I do that for myself. Like, I could speak words of life over myself. Like, I don't need somebody else doing that for me. Like, whatever. Like, that's not how I receive love. I used to tell you that over and over again. And I used to tell you that my love language was quality time. And it was. I'd always appreciate, you know, us just, you know, sitting together, reading a book together, watching something together. Like, just having you there, like, it's a nice feeling. Mm-hmm. But when we were going through these counseling sessions, I started to realize, like, I am a words of affirmation person. There's been times where words have really broken me down. Mm. And it's usually when it's like, I've always told you, like, deeper. Like, I'm not one for like, oh my gosh, babe, you look cute. Oh my gosh, like, you look so handsome. Like, I do like it. And there has been, little by little, I don't know, you've noticed it, where I come back from the gym and I start flexing on you and you're like, oh, you look so big and strong, you know? And I'm like, yeah, you know? But like, I think there's a time and a place for me. Like, I'm not to the point where like I'm all words of affirmation. Yeah. Like, if you just randomly like, oh, babe, like you look cute or whatever.
You look good today.
I'm like, oh, like, you know? But, you know, I'm getting to the point where it's more and more, right? But anyways, besides the point, I feel like there was a more like I was opening back up. And it goes back to that one episode where I talked about when I was meditating on forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God kind of spoke to me and it was like, who were you before the pain, right? And going back to that, it's just who I was before the pain is, I said, I was somebody who wore my heart on my sleeve. I was a person of that was seeking love, that mm-hmm. wanted love, that wanted the words, that wanted everything, right? And so when we were going through this counseling, I felt myself like transitioning back to that. And because of that, I felt like I was becoming softer. Like the armor that I had built up for myself was starting to come off. But with that came, Grace, you're going to start hearing more about my feelings. And I remember you'd get to the point where like, what the heck? Like, since when do you like tell your feelings? Or like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes you would like throw some jabs or like some jokes in there. But I was just like, no, this is who I am. Like, I'm going to start telling you my feelings. And the same way that you want your feelings heard and validated, like, I want it too.
Yeah.
And I was, I guess, being empowered as a man of like, I don't feel like you've ever really told me, like, be quiet. I don't want to hear nothing. Like, mm-hmm. like I said, you throw those jabs of like, okay, like, you don't feel nothing or whatever, yeah. right? But in between the lines, I was like feeling like, okay, like I don't have a voice. And again, with this whole movement of women empowerment and, you know, that was due to like our issues or whatever, where you were like, I'm done. Like I need to look out for me because my husband is not looking out for me. Right. It was just culmination and combination of all these things. But as we were going through this process, I was like, I'm going to start being more open. Right. And you said like that you got annoyed and I sensed that you would get annoyed, but I was like, no, like this is, let us both start voicing, you know, mm-hmm. what we're feeling. Let us both feel heard and validated. And like, because basically what it is us both sharing our hearts.
Yeah.
And we were getting into a healthier place where you were able to speak and be heard and be validated. And I could take all the information that you were giving me and start making the adjustments and the changes where I could be a better husband to you and vice versa. I wanted the same thing, right? But I did feel, you know, that annoyance of your part of like, you would just get mad. I felt like you didn't like me. Basically, because there would be times where I would call you a hypocrite. Be like, yo, you're being a hypocrite. Like, you're asking for something, but you're not willing to give it. Like, what are we doing then?
Yeah.
And you would kind of, like, shut down. And I don't know if you were, like, processing it. Because, yeah, I remember it'd be, like, during the nighttime and we'd be riding home. And we kind of, like, end off, like, you know, just kind of in silence. We'd go to sleep, whatever. And the next day we would talk about it. But what I want to know is like through that process, because I feel like there's a good amount of guys out there going through similar situations where they feel like they don't have a voice. Because again, like social media, society, American culture, whatever you want to call it, like has been kind of telling the guys like, shut the heck up. Like you no longer have a voice. The moment that you have a voice, all the women are going to jump you and they're going to call you insensitive. They're going to call you, what's the word in English for machista? Misogynistic. They're going to call you misogynistic. They're going to call you insensitive. They're going to call you all these things. So you better shut the heck up or else you're going to get it, you know? And so how did you process that? Like, I want to go back to that because you didn't really answer that. Like, how did you process that transition of like, okay, I have to hear him now and like, I have to trust that it's going to work out.
Well, I knew what you were saying was true. Like, okay, this is what he feels and he does have a right. If I'm going to speak about how I feel, like I do need to listen to him. Mm-hmm. Like, even though it was annoying, I knew it's fair. Like, this is fair.
Yeah.
I think I just thought it was annoying because I'm like, okay, if I do what he says, even though he has not yet done what I have said. Like, it was back to like being selfish or being scared. Mm-hmm. What made it easy though is, I think in the moment that you even said you were going into therapy and you wanted to go all in, I think what helped me was you were not only telling me your feelings, but then you were trying to show me that you loved me. And so I think that that combination was like, okay, like, I want to show him that I love him too. And so then it stopped being about us voicing our opinions and us like serving each other. I think that's why it's so important, where like God says, like, to, you know, like this church to serve, and then Jesus serves. Like, we, Jesus came here to serve and not be served. And the church, now we're called to like serve Jesus and be his hands and feet. Mm-hmm. And I do think there's a beauty when now you try to outserve one another. So I think it was once I started seeing like, okay, he's voicing his opinions, but then he is watching over my heart at the same time. It's so much more easier to trust. And now I see it. Like, if I say, oh, I'm tired, or this is going to be challenging, you offer to take that up. Okay, I'll put the kids to bed. Like, don't worry, I got this. Like, I'll clean. And then it's so much easier for me.
I'll get you Starbucks.
Yeah, you get me Starbucks. And then it's so much easier for me when then I hear you saying, oh, I have to clean. I'm like, oh, I'll clean for you. Mm. Like, that's what you're worried about. I'll do it. Because we don't have to hear so much. And I was like, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Yeah.
There came a point where, like, we were just talking because we were not used to, like, serving each other. And so I was like, this is my needs, okay? This is my needs, okay? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, who's going to serve one another first? Like, but am I going to be taken care of if I take care of you? And there comes to a point where I think that's how God wanted it to be, where you're serving me and so my needs are met. But because if you're serving me, like, I'm serving you and your needs are met. And it doesn't matter who starts or who ends it. It's just that it's continuously going. But it's so hard to take that first step of like, is he going to follow?
Yeah.
Like, putting, I'll go first. Like, that's so hard to do.
It's building up that trust again. And I feel like there's definitely that ingredient that's needed, is that trust, where you both can have a conversation. I think a conversation needs to be had, mm-hmm. especially, and right now we're speaking to the marriages, the relationships that are going through this right now.
Yeah.
Where they don't feel heard. They both don't feel heard. They don't feel validated. They don't feel cared for. But they want the relationship to work, right? They want the marriage to work. And so a conversation needs to be had. For a lot of people, it's scary. Because again, to have a conversation is to be vulnerable. To be vulnerable is to have your heart on the table. Mm-hmm. To have your heart on the table, there's a possibility that things getting thrown out, right? But the conversation needs to be had. Do we like where we're at right now? No. Okay, what are we going to do to make it better? Okay, here's the things that we need to do. And at the gist of it, I guarantee you the problem is probably similar to ours. I just want to be heard. I just want to be heard. Mm-hmm. I want to be cared for. I want to be cared for. I want to be loved. I want to be loved. Like, that's what it really comes down to. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you both can come to that agreement, this is what I want. We both want this. Okay. Now, after that conversation of this is what it's going to look like, then comes the trust and the faith. I have to trust that you're going to be able to do it. But we've also talked about it before. A transition doesn't happen just snap of a finger. There's going to be hiccups, and there needs to be grace given. Because, again, me and you, when we were going through our transition to a healthier marriage, we had to keep reminding each other, like, hey, you're looking at me from the lens of old David. That's not who I am anymore. Mm-hmm. Give me a shot. Or, David, you messed up. And I'd be like, okay, oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Like, I'll try better. And it's... you got to get to a point, because it's so easy to already have all these problems, make the decision to be better, have a little hiccup, and go revert back to the old cycle of, see, I knew it. You weren't going to be able to do it. I knew it. You didn't care about me. I knew it, that you were going to mess up, and that just shows that you don't love me. You know, like, all these things you could easily, but you got to have that grace of like, okay, you messed up. It's okay. But are we still on the same page? Yeah. Okay, let's keep moving forward. Like, I forgive you. Let's do it, right? I want to know, speaking to those marriages, speaking to the men, what advice would you give to a man if he's in that situation where he doesn't feel heard and he's at that point where I need help? Because this guy told me, I've tried before and it gets me nothing. And again, that's, I tried showing her my heart. She spit on it. It sucked. I don't want to do it again. What advice would you give a man like that?
Go to therapy. And the reason why I say therapy is I hear so many times of, oh, well, we both are willing, so we can work through it out. Mm-hmm. But so many times we've said this, like, just think of men and women as two different species. Like, we're completely different. We both speak completely different languages. It might sound like we're speaking English, but this person speaks in pink, this person speaks in blue, just to label it.
Yeah.
My mom would even say that. Like, she'd say, us women have pink headphones and men have their pink, their blue ones, and then we speak in pink, and it just, there's no connection. And so the reason why I say therapist is so right, because he genuinely thinks, like, I'm telling her, I'm pouring my heart out. I am communicating in the only way I know how. Like, for me, this is vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I don't even see it. Like, he's not being vulnerable. He tells me in the worst timing, or he's like telling me when I haven't even been taken care of, or whatever, like whatever it is. Like, she doesn't see it, because if they both love each other, and I'm assuming they do because they're married. Mm-hmm. If they both love each other, if she sees his heart on the table and like hears it in her language, she'll be like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Like, I do not want you to feel this way. But many times, I think it's either a force of habit of like, I'm hearing this all the time. It sounds like complaining. Like how men say, like, you've said it so many times, it sounds like complaining. That just by hearing a perspective and saying, wait, wait, did you catch that? Like, did you, like how, or I was going to say her name, how our old therapist would say, like, wait, did you see, like, they're giving you the golden ticket? Or, okay, like, pause, repeat it. And like, and you repeat it and you're like, oh, wow, he's saying this. Because if you're in the life and if it's just like bad timing, bad usage of words, bad tone even. And I think you have to use those exercises of how we said, not only is there someone guiding you and like calling you out of like, he just told you this, like, you're not listening. Because we can be so callous if so much hurt has been built that it doesn't even like penetrate. So I think relearning each other how to communicate so that the other person can be receptive and being guided of catch those things helps. I think a therapist, a third person's always going to be my go-to advice.
Okay. There's one thing that like,
I know I could tell as soon as I said it and you're just not letting it go.
There's one thing that you said that kind of triggered me and we're going to go back to the communication.
Yeah.
You said the women have their pink earphones and they speak in pink. Men have blue earphones and they speak in blue. The man could be communicating, this is what I feel, and blah, blah, blah. But if he doesn't communicate in pink, he will not be heard. That to me, I'm sorry, that to me, I mean.
Okay, or the girl.
It sounds ridiculous.
Or the girl can learn blue. Same thing.
And that's where, that's where we go back to the responsibility of communication.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Right? But I'm saying.
Because I'm thinking, if she really loves him, and if he really loves her, again, I could be speaking in orange, black, blue, yellow, neon, whatever. I'm communicating to you.
Correct.
And you have a responsibility as somebody who loves me, who has entered into a covenant with me, who has become one with me, to be able to, if they don't understand, ask the questions.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why if you go to a therapist, the therapist can call her out and say, did you just not listen to it? Like, this is what the blue means. Like, translate. Teach her how to translate. And that same way where the therapist told me, like, you're being too sensitive. You're not listening to him. Mm-hmm. You're taking it personal. And he loves you. Like, mm-hmm. His words translate into pink this. Like, learn the blue, mm-hmm. so you don't take everything personal. And so, okay, I might not have included the learn the blue, but what I'm saying a therapist does is catches out, calls out on both parts. And like, okay, how come you're not receiving this? Like, this is what he's saying, like translating it or vice versa to the man. Like, mm-hmm. wait, you're not listening to her. But it's so hard if you're stuck in your ways, continuing to listen your own words and he's continuing to speak and listen in his own words for you to naturally learn that. I think you have to, you don't have to, but it's very wise to have a third person, not biased, so no one's feelings get hurt. Mm-hmm. And just making you guys more aware to each other.
So would you say that's the only solution? Because what if you have those marriages that are just like, nah, we're not going to go to counseling. Like, are they doomed?
Well, that's pride right there. Why don't you want to go?
What if they don't have the means?
Local churches would love, some of them would love to give advice.
Yeah, but not all local churches can be trusted.
That's true. That's true. But that's why it's important. We've talked about community and like going, and I don't think we've said this, but going to a church, you can't do it alone. You can't. And especially if there's been so much hurt, the bad thing with hurt is you start accusing one another, blaming one another. As soon as you start accusing, like who's the master of accusing? Like Satan. And to really not accuse and take responsibility and see each other for what it is, not being enemies and not fighting this battle as flesh and blood, but against like the real enemy, that's where progress is going to make. But that takes so much time because you said, I'm putting my heart out there asking you to lay down your weapons when you're so used to it. And so you're asking for someone to be triggered and hurt and like a warrior to not cast out like their sword and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big deal. The only way to do that is an ally, like other countries do. Someone white flag and saying, okay, you're an ally. We're going to discuss this here. I don't know. That's very hard. I don't think it's impossible. I think even like the Holy Spirit and God can be that person, but it takes a long way. It's going to take so much more time. And so if you can do something quicker, like God has gifted people with that gift, with that career, with that passion.
I wouldn't say quicker. And just because that contradicts a lot of what we've said. Mm-hmm. But I would say that if God has placed tools around us,
yeah,
use them. They will be a help mm-hmm. where you're obviously not a professional in, but they've been working at it for years.
Yeah.
So they have insight. And they could decipher what you guys are saying and be able to translate to each other. And just to be in a room with a third party, there is, if you truly embrace it, there is a sense of this is a safe space where I can communicate.
Yeah.
And if I don't communicate properly, the mediator is going to help me communicate properly. The mediator is going to correct me and say, maybe you should try communicating it in this way. You know, and just having those moments, I would not say that it would be quicker because it's still a process. Mm-hmm. You're in there with them for 1 hour. The rest of the time, you're doing the work. So it's a tool.
Yeah.
Right. But before we move on, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, I think that was the biggest game changer for me because for so long, I kept saying, well, I'm telling him what I feel. I'm telling him what I'm feeling. He's not listening. Mm-hmm. Speaking to a therapist, it felt like even if you talked and she had your back, because there have been moments where you'd say something and it feels like, okay, you know, he's winning or whatever. Uh-huh. It felt like she's doing that because it's going to help me. Like I might not see it, mm-hmm. but she cares about me. Mm-hmm. Just knowing that someone is rooting for you and is going to make every decision to help you, to make your life better, that's where you accept anything. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, you know she's not there for you. She's not there for me. She's there so our marriage can get better. And so whether she's on your side, I'm going to lay everything out because it's best for us.
Yeah.
So even though it might not feel good, you completely like surrender it to someone because you know we're going to walk away. If both parties are willing, that's why I think it's key that both have to be willing. We're going to walk away better and just trusting the process. So yeah, I just, my advice is both people have to be at the point of being humble and saying, I can do it all. I am at the point where we've tried it by our own devices, by our own means, and mm-hmm. we keep getting hurt, and that's okay. That's normal. Like, how do we expect two people just to know how to talk to each other when we were raised completely different? We come from completely different backgrounds. We were never taught it. We were never showed. It was never around us. To expect two people just to know how to communicate because they love each other is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so have that grace upon yourself of, I don't know it, and that's okay. But the best thing you can do for your marriage is say, all right, I surrender it, and I don't care what it takes to get this together.
Yeah.
But I do think for sure both need to be in that page and walk into truly reap all of the benefits that therapy has.
And I personally think you said when I finally decided to go to counseling, I feel like in order for a relationship that is in this point of hardship, for it to work out, you both need to get to a point of, I'm done with having this crazy cycle. And by mm-hmm. crazy cycle, I mean doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yeah.
Both need to come to a point of, I want to change my circumstance. I want to change this environment. I want this to be better. And I feel like that's where I got. And that's the reason why I decided, let's go to counseling. Because I was like, I personally got to the point where I'm like, I don't like where we're at right now. And I can't figure it out. And I didn't think that you could figure it out. So I'm just like, okay, it's time to have help. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why there's coaches and mentors and counselors and all these things. There's a reason why God has placed them around us. Like, let's use that.
Would you say, because even Atomic Habits, we haven't brought up that book in a while.
I know.
But he even says you can try to change so much, but just off of pure self-determination mm-hmm. is not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing when we become, I guess, in a bad habit of something, we know already what conversation is going to trigger a fight. And as much as we say, okay, once that topic is triggered or once we get there, I'm just going to take a deep breath and I'm just going to use my words wisely. And you like picture it in your mind, no, it's going to be different. But then somewhere something happens, you either get triggered and say like the first word that causes him to get defensive and hit back at you. And that's when you like take it up a notch, or whether he does and you can't remain calm, whatever it is. Again, it's just this cycle, and you have to, like Atomic Habits say, like recognize it and say, okay, like we need to change our habits.
Right.
And that's where with any addiction, with alcohol, with porn, with I always say gluttony, whatever it is, any addiction, it's recognizing that you have a problem, recognizing the bad habits and saying, okay, I'm not good at this. Like, I'm going to keep falling into what I already know, what mm-hmm. I molded to. And just, you're reaching out for help, or you're reaching out for accountability. Again, there's people who on their own have gotten out of alcohol and pornography, but that takes, it's so hard and so few, I feel like.
Yeah.
And so why not, again, if you really want to get out of there, like how bad do you want it? Mm-hmm. That you're willing to just, I don't care if people know I'm, I think that's what it is. Like, I don't care if people know I'm an alcoholic. Like, I'm going to go to the meetings. I'm going to have a sponsor. I'm going to do that because I think it labels you a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if people are afraid of that label of, we couldn't figure it out on our own. It was so bad, we had to go to a therapist. Like, they just don't like it, or they don't think they're that bad yet that they have to go get it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I completely agree. And so just speaking to those couples going through that hardship, I would say you both need to get to the point where something, you both feel like something needs to change. Mm-hmm. We need to work at it. we need to get better. And that's not enough. Next, I think you guys need to do a heart check, your own heart check. Don't be pointing at the other person's heart and being like, this is what's wrong with it. Point at your own heart and realize that there's pride involved. 100% there's pride involved. And just know that as long as that pride exists, the relationship is going to continue to have hardships. Mm-hmm. After letting go of that pride, forgiveness needs to happen. Because probably a good amount of you probably have, you're holding a grudge against the other person. And that's why you can't feel like you can be on the same page. There hasn't been healing that happened. There hasn't been you haven't gone back to unity. Like there's that lack of forgiveness that's happening. And also next would be grace. And lastly, especially in a marriage, we need to get to a point where we are okay with being vulnerable and trusting the other person with your heart. But all those steps before that have to happen before that. Because if you are vulnerable before the pride is gone, it might not work out.
Yeah. And I'd like to either before or after that step. Because I think for me, I was better in my relationship with God. You told me not to hit the mic. I'm going to hit it. I was better in my relationship with God kind of at the same time as our marriage. Mm-hmm. So I want to say because the Bible, I don't know if it's Paul or Peter, one of the P's, where this says, if you have an unbelieving husband, the best thing you can do is don't talk and with your actions, convert him.
There you go.
And I would want to say I did that and you changed. Like that wasn't the case. Like I nagged my way to it. But whether it's before, during, or after, you have to have a relationship with God and know that you cannot rely on the other person to make you happy. You cannot rely on the other person to fill your needs. Because A, they will never be filled. That man can be perfect. That woman can be perfect. And you still feel like you need something. Mm-hmm. And B, they're not perfect. So they are going to fail. Are you going to revert to old ways? How you said not extend grace. And the only way you can extend grace is once you realize that you've been extended grace yourself. Because now we come to the point where there's things that annoy me about you. But I feel like I don't have to nag. Maybe I'll nag once or twice. But I know I'm going to write it in my book or give it to God. And either he's going to change you or he's going to change me where it doesn't annoy me anymore. And you don't have to change because you're human. Mm-hmm. And I'm covered. I'm good. I'm protected. I'm going to be okay. But it's not because of you. It's because he has my back. Again, even if he doesn't change the situation, it just changes my heart. But you have to get there either before, during, or after, because you can't just rely on a marriage based off of, or if he does, I do, or I feel. If he does, I feel. In a perfect scenario, we're talking about two people who are willing, right? But that's not always the case. Or that doesn't always reciprocate at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And so I just want to put that out there.
And I really appreciate that one part that you said where it basically comes down to selflessness. Mm-hmm. And to give, and maybe without expecting to receive back. And it's not that you're not going to receive back, but when you have that expectation of in the next 24 hours, I better receive back what I just gave, and it doesn't happen, then, when you have those expectations, that's when the house begins to crumble down, because you're just I built this expectation in my head. It wasn't that, so now this sucks, right? But I see it as a farmer planting seeds. Mm. You both are planting seeds and you're trusting in God, trusting in the relationship, trusting in what the work that both of you guys are doing, that these seeds are going to produce fruit.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what happened with us. In the beginning, it was hard. It wasn't hard, but like I said, we were having those kind of battles me and you and what I feel and what you feel. But little by little, we started trusting each other of she's going to hear me. He's going to hear me. he's going to do something about what I just said. She's going to do something about what I said. We started planting these seeds of love, mm-hmm. of I got your back, of it's us against everything else. Like, we're uniting again, you know, like, and, you know, you said like, oh, like, I don't know if it was me doing that. And, you know, but I do feel like that's part of it. I felt that there was a shift in you, and I've told you this before, like there was a shift in you where I started to feel like secure in you, mm-hmm. where in comparison to the past, I could say I didn't feel secure in you in regards to like, you had my back, you had my heart, like you had my feelings into consideration. Like, again, I felt like my friend did, like, I'm all alone, like, but I have to act like I have it all together. Like, I'm a man, so I always have to pretend like, hey, I'm the warrior. Like, there's nothing that beats me down, you know? And a lot of men go through a lot of fatigue because of that. They're putting on that mask of like, I got it all together.
Yeah.
Nothing weighs me down. But, you know, in their own privacy, they're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to make it through tomorrow? Like, I have all these things to figure out, right? And that's something else to bring up for the guys. Like, yeah. You don't have to act like you have it all together. There is a level of protection that both a woman and a man need. Let's say I just said right now, like, you don't have to act like you have it all together. But a man could be hearing that and say, well, I'm not in the greatest relationship with my wife right now. So if I say I don't have it all together, what's going to happen? You know, and that's why we go back to the steps. Like, pride needs to be taken out of the relationship. Forgiveness needs to happen. Grace needs to be extended. These things need to happen for that healthy space to come out, where a man can be like, babe, I'm having a rough one today. Mm-hmm. I screwed up so many times. Like, no man likes to say that. But if they have somebody that they trust, I believe that they'll get to that point where really you are my best friend. Although there's some people that don't like that term between a man and a wife. Hey, I'm all for it. I feel like you're my best friend and I can tell you exactly what I'm going through.
Yeah.
This is rough. And there are times where men need other men to, you know, have that support of like, oh yeah, I'm going through that too. Like, what are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? This is what I'm doing. Okay, let's come together and like, let's hold each other accountable, right? That's good too. But I feel like it is healthy for a man to tell his wife, because I remember in counseling, I told you straight up, like when you were going through your first year of teaching, and I finally could spit out, like, I kept shutting you down and I kept like shrugging you off because the inner me felt like I could not handle it, that mm-hmm. I was a failure over and over again because you kept coming home crying and there was nothing I could do about it because I didn't know how to handle it, right? And when I said that, I hadn't thought about it like that. But when I did, it made a whole lot of sense. And I was able to tell you, and I didn't feel like, oh, like, look at this little punk. Like, what kind of man is he? I never felt like that at all. You were like, you appreciated me opening it up. And your heart extended to mine. I remember on the drive home, you were like, I had no idea. And we had a great conversation. And again, there was that bonding of like, I'm sharing my heart, and you appreciated me sharing my heart because I wasn't usually doing that before. Mm-hmm. And for you to hear like, oh, like he doesn't have it all together all the time, or he is lost sometimes, you know, and that's okay. And that's where the beauty of marriage comes in, where even the leader, the man of the house, can sometimes stumble and sometimes have problems. But when the wife comes in and says, don't worry, I got you. That's where like the beauty of marriage and unity just flourishes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, like a man feels a breath of fresh air when he has that.
Yeah.
So to conclude, it's rough out there for marriages.
It's rough.
But again, we have to come to a point where we're like, things need to change.
Yeah.
That decision needs to be made. The conversation needs to be had. And all those steps that we named before have to happen. And like Grace said, I do agree. If you guys have the opportunity to go to counseling, that would be amazing. It would be a great help. If you guys are in the area of Southern California, Biola has a great program with great counselors. That's where we've gone, and they've helped us tremendously. But if you're not, look for, I mean, if you are a Christian, look for a Christian counselor. And if you're not, look for a non-Christian counselor. Like, I guarantee you're still going to get really good practical skills to be able to practice. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to practice them with the mediator there. I promise you that it is a safe space. And if both man and wife go into the counseling sessions saying, hey, like being open-minded and embracing the process is going to pay off greatly. And you're going to be grateful that you spent that money and you spent that time and you spent that effort to be able to better your marriage.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we weren't able to get to the second topic, so we will have to leave that topic for the next episode, maybe, or after that. But it is another good topic, another good little, you know, something good to talk about. Something to converse about and debate about. But we really appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to this 12th episode, 12 weeks strong. We're going to continue going strong. The plan is to go strong up until the end of November. We will be taking December off.
And January.
I don't know about January, but December for sure. We'll talk about the rest. But again, we really appreciate you guys' time. We appreciate you guys sending the messages that you guys are sending. And we would appreciate if you guys like, subscribe, comment, share. Yeah, we hope that this episode was a blessing. If you guys have any questions, feel free to ask them. If you wanted us to elaborate on this topic, I'm sure there's some things that we miss or some things that maybe your situation is a little bit different, and we'd love to weigh in or to have converse about it or answer any questions, anything. We are here, ready and willing. We love you guys. Thank you.
Bye. See ya.